Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Frankie Mazapika. The title of the message is Inexhaustible Love. The love of God is inexhaustible. And I want to just kind of springboard into this using a few verses out of the Bible. They're found in Psalms chapter 116, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it reads. I love the Lord. That's how the sentence starts. That's how the verse starts. This is what the psalmist says. He goes, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayers when I ask for mercy. He hears my voice. I don't know if any of you have ever need the mercy of God. I have need the mercy of God every day. It's like, I love you for hearing my voice. With all the sounds in the universe, the Niagara Falls, the blow of the dust in Sahara, he hears my voice. He hears your voice when you ask for mercy. And here's the next verse. It says this, because he bends down to hear me, to listen to me. If I have breath, I will pray. He bends down to listen to me. My wife and I were on a trip earlier this week. We left Monday and we came back yesterday, and it was just her and I. We were getting away, and my son texted us and said, "Hey, Sissy's feeling sick." And Sissy's our oldest daughter. She's a senior in high school, and then he texted later. We think that she might have food poisoning, and so. We came home last night, and when we walked through the door, our little 8-year-old came running up. Ah, there she was, so happy to see us. And our son, who's a freshman, he came up, hey, Dad, and he gave us a hug. And I'm like, go shave your mustache, your little peach fudge. Go shave that. Or pluck it. It'll do this. And our three dogs came running up. Two of them I was happy to see. The third one, I'll give them to you. Just know he's impossible to house train. So just know that. But the missing part of our family was our senior in high school. And she was in her room. And she's been sick for a minute. And so I went into her room, and it was pitch black. And I know how she sleeps. She sleeps on her side. She slept on her side since she was a baby. But when I walked in there, after my eyes adjusted to the dark, she was laying on her back, and I could clearly see she wasn't doing well. I walked up to her, and I bent over, and I whispered in her ear, "Presley, are you okay?" Now, sadly, as our kids get older, they go from calling their parents mommy to mom to ma. My kids used to call me daddy, and now it's dad, and my son calls me yo. It just changes. I remember the first time he said bro, and I was like, how I feel about that. But anyway, I walked in there, and my daughter said, "Hi, Daddy." And I bent over, and I listened. I said, "Is there anything I can get you?" And she said, "No, I'm fine." And I went and got her a cold rag and put it on her head, and I got her an ice water. And I said, "Do you want anything else?" She says, "No, Daddy, I'm okay." And I kissed her hands a whole bunch, and I said, "If you need anything, let me know." And I didn't want her to, like, I kept bending over to listen to her and whisper to you and let her whisper to me. You know what didn't cross my mind at that moment? It did not cross my mind to say, hey, while your mom and I have been gone for the past 5 days, 4 days, Have you been mean to your little sister? Have you been mean to your brother? Were you late for school? Did you get in trouble in school? Did you smart off to your grandma as she was watching over you? Those thoughts never crossed my mind because she's sick and she's hurting and I was bending over to make sure she was okay. The scripture we just read says he bends over to listen. When you're hurting and you're in pain and you're in that darkest place and you feel like he's 1,000 miles away and there's a part of you, you're soul sick. Your relationships are sick. The enemy will tell you over and over again you've been far too inconsistent. And I want you to know that that's a lie of the enemy. Every thought you think that makes you feel bad is coming from hell. And every thought you think that encourages you is coming from heaven. Can you remember that? And when you whisper, the Bible says that he bends over to hear you. He bends over. When he's bending over to hear you, he's not thinking about what you did last night, what you did last week, what you did a month ago, what you did 7 years ago. Those things are not on your mind, on his mind. He knows that you're soul sick. He knows that you're heartbroken. He knows that you're desperate, and he just leans over to listen. He leans over. I got three major points. Number one is our prayers. Number two is the love of God. And number three is the promises of God. When we talk about our prayers, if we're completely honest, a lot of those prayers are cold prayers. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says that the fervent prayers of God avails much. The fervent prayers. It doesn't say the long prayers. It doesn't say that if you pray for at least 10 minutes. It doesn't say any of that. It says the fervent prayers. All of you know how to pray fervently if you have a driver's license. Have you ever almost gotten into a wreck and you're like, Jesus! You don't have time to pray a long prayer. You don't have time to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You don't have time for that. But it's the fervent prayer. Jesus! Have you ever said that? Jesus! Maybe it wasn't on the highway. Maybe it was after work. Maybe it was when you went to go use the restroom during work and you just went in there just to say, Jesus! Have you ever been listening to someone in your family and just said, oh, Jesus? If you ever have, you know how to pray fervently. But sometimes it's a cold prayer. Sometimes it's a casual prayer. Sometimes the prayer is so infrequent, you wonder if it's even worth praying. I want you to know that when we pray, the Lord stands there with both hands full of grace. Did you know that a short prayer pierces through the atmosphere, through the floor of heaven, and touches the heart of God? A short prayer. You may think to yourself, I'm the chief sinner in this congregation. I want you to know your prayer is a little bit different. Not only does it touch the heart of God, but there's a celebration in heaven when your voice is lifted up to God. There's a celebration. Your voice has a unique sound, a unique tone. And when that sound and that tone comes in the presence of God, there's a celebration for you. Whether it's a short prayer, a cold prayer, a distant prayer, an infrequent prayer, it arrests the presence of God. And so the next time he crosses your mind, whisper a prayer. In my darkest hours, and I've been very transparent over the years, that the challenge that has come, that has faced me most over the course of my life is depression and anxiety. And I win that battle sometimes, and sometimes I am not winning. And when I begin to spiral, I don't have the fortitude and the strength that I have whenever I'm winning. Because when I'm winning, I can go in my office or a place in my house and shut the door and set my alarm on my phone and say, I'm not coming out for 2 hours, or I'm not coming out for 3 hours, or 1 hour. I'm not coming out until this alarm goes on. And I can worship and praise Him and enjoy His presence. But when I'm losing, I can hardly get a sentence out of my mouth. I can only get a few words out of my mouth. I'm not the preacher that only shares testimonies of things that happened 10 years ago. Have you ever met somebody like that? Oh, 17 years ago, 10 years ago, I was struggling, but now I'm a victor, not a victim. I'm telling you, last week I was fighting this battle. And last week, and in most mornings, the first 30 minutes of my day, I'm fighting like a caged warrior. And in those moments, I can only get three or four words out. I need you. I need you. Help me. I need you. Sometimes those three or four words in a sentence are in succession. Sometimes they're 5 minutes apart. Sometimes they're 20 minutes apart. But I refuse to just think the prayer. I say the prayer. I say it. I say it. I say, I need you. I need you. I'm desperate for you. I need you. I need you. I'm desperate for you. And I remind myself that short prayers are powerful prayers. Let me say that again. Short prayers are powerful prayers. I hope you're enjoying today's sermon. I'd like to hit pause just for a moment because every Sunday we always pray for people who need a healing in their body. I hope this next testimony encourages you to believe God for miracles in your own life.
I've been struggling with the ring in my ear for about 7 years now, and it is tormenting for anyone that has dealt with that. I guess he was calling words of knowledge. Then specifically, he called out that there was a ringing, constant ringing, and that it was even more so during service on the left side. So I knew, of course, by nudging on my wife, she kind of said, hey, because she knows about it, and we've been in agreement for a long time in regarding that. And so I went down there obediently. He said, I want you to blow 3 times on my shoulder and squeeze the more and more you feel the presence of God on his arm. And then he gave me the direction to say Jesus 5 times. And I shouted that, and then I felt an overwhelming presence come to where I just couldn't stop shaking. And after a while, I guess he just kept on holding me and finally released me with the prayer, and I hit the ground. As well, when I got up, I still couldn't stop shaking. And I'm a type of person that I usually am very, like, collected and calm, so that's kind of out of character for me. I've also been dealing with this ACL, MCL, meniscus injury that's potentially torn. So I felt that, like, fire in my knee all around this area. I believe it and receive it that I'm healed on my knee, healed on my left, the ringing, you know, that is gone.
Let me talk to you now about the love of God. There's a scripture that says in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy endures forever. And every time you wake up, it's new and fresh as if you have never needed it before. Every time you wake up, it is as if you have never needed it before. It is new. It is fresh. Let me see if I can illustrate, because I can talk all day, I can talk for a week, I can talk for a year about the love of God, and my vocabulary will fail me. But let me see if I can illustrate it. We've all had somebody knock on our door and try to sell something we don't want. But imagine for a moment someone knocks on your door and asks for money. Not to sell something, cash, money. After you get over the shock that somebody would have the audacity to come walk up and knock on your door and ask for money, you look into their face, let's assume it's a guy, and you can see on his face he's desperate. And so even though it's an inconvenience and even though you're shocked, you go and you find some cash and you give it to him. But then he shows up a month later and knocks on the door again. The thought crosses your mind, I just gave you money, and I don't want this to become a habit. And then he shows up a week later and asks for money again. If you're anything like me, you're thinking to yourself, I can't afford to support you. I'm trying to support myself. I mean, I can't do this over and over again. And so you tell him, look, this is the third time. I can't keep doing this. And then he says back, I'll be back next week. And he comes back next week. And then he says, I'll be back tomorrow. In fact, I'll be back every single day. Sure enough, he shows up the next day and rings the doorbell and asks for more money. And you tell him, look, this relationship can't go on like this. And he says, I'll be back every hour. I'm desperate. I don't have any answers. I'll be back every hour. And then he says, in fact, I'll be back twice an hour. And sure enough, he does. Every half hour on the hour, he's there. You go to work and he gets on a skateboard and chases you down. Finally, you get to work, and he says, look, I'm going to tell you right now, and just pulls some number out of the air. I'm going to be asking about 66, 77 times a day, and it's not just going to be for money. If I am having a problem in my family, I'm asking for you to help me. I'm not a psychologist. What do you think I'm going to do? No. In fact, if I'm hungry, if I need money, if I have a problem, if I'm sick, if I got a headache, I'm coming to you. You and I would be exhausted over that. Do you know that in Isaiah chapter 83, the Lord says this, you need to come to me more. It's in Isaiah, he says, you need to come to me more. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, think about all the things that I've done for you. Don't worry about anything and pray about everything. Everything. You cannot exhaust the love of God. Pray about everything. You and I may get exhausted. You and I may say, you need to start carrying weight for yourself. You and I may look at him and say, pull yourself together. God looks at you and says, you can't pull yourself together. Otherwise, you would have done it already. But I'm here. I'm here, and this is what I love to do. I distinctly remember a few years ago, I was driving down the road, and I was pulling a U-turn. I know exactly where I was. There was a supermarket on this side. There was a Blockbuster on this side. Can we all just take a moment of rest and mourn over the fact that there's no Blockbuster? But I remember distinctly there was a supermarket over there. There was a Blockbuster over there. I was pulling a U-turn, and I felt the Lord tell me, you need to ask me for more. I'll never forget that. You need to ask me for more. And my immediate thought was, I don't want to just ask you for things. I don't want to be that person that's always asking. I'm not praising you. I don't want my requests to be greater than my praises. But then I don't want to manipulate you either. I've come to worship you and praise you, knowing I'm just going to do this because I got to ask you for something. Is that just me? That's not what the Bible says. He says, don't worry about anything and think about everything that I have done and ask me for everything. Ask me for everything. This is the love of God. Regardless of how inconsistent you've been, regardless of how sinful you have been, the Lord says to me, come to me. Let me share a thought about how much he loves you. If you've ever had a baby before, if you've ever been in a room where you saw an ultrasound before of a baby in a mother's womb, you know this to be true. The first thing that you see in an ultrasound is the heartbeat. It's the smallest thing. It's flickering. And usually the assistant or the doctor or whoever's doing the ultrasound, they will show you the little flicker. The very first thing that God creates in a womb whenever he is forming a baby is the heart. The heart does not need the brain to exist. The heart, once it starts beating, it is the spark of God. It doesn't stop, and everything is built around that. It's the spark of God. Did you know that if you took a heart and put it in a petri dish full of cancer, cancer cannot get into the heart? You may meet someone who has skin cancer, bone cancer, a mass of cancer. You will never meet anyone who has cancer in their heart. That is the spark of God. Sickness cannot inflict the heart of God. It's the spark of God. This is how much he loves you. He makes sure that that heart keeps on beating without a battery, without jumper cables. Anything that operates needs a source of power. Even the flashlight in your house needs a battery. But your heart was started by him, controls the everything in your brain, and it was him. It was his spark. He watches over that spark. Why? Because he loves you. And when you make mistakes and you do stupid things, that spark doesn't go out because his love is greater than what you can understand. It is inexhaustible. Can we praise him for that? Come on. If you ever think that you have exhausted God, if you ever think that you have reached the bottom of his grace and the end of his love, just lay your hand on your chest and see if that heart's beating. Because if that heart is beating, he's full of patience with you, and your assignment is not over. Because if your assignment was over and he was ready to bring you to heaven, he'd say, I started the heart and today's the day it stops. That's his love for you. Now let me talk about his promises for you. There are promises in the Bible that Satan devotes his entire existence of hiding. He hides those promises. If he can get you to live your whole life unaware of those promises, he is full of joy. He believes that he is winning because your salvation is a promise. If you confess with your mouth that the Lord is the Savior of your life and you surrender your life, it's a promise from the Lord that you will be saved. But if he can hide you of all the promises, not just salvation, but the key to victory and deliverance and freedom and access to the Holy Spirit for his power to move through you, if he can hide you from those promises to where you live your whole life and you're never aware of them, you're never aware of them, you're not ignoring them, you don't even know they exist. Then the enemy can get a foothold in your life and begin to fill your mind with lies. So if you're unaware of his promises, let me just tell you a couple, and you can hang on to those for the rest of your life. And let me tell you this, if God does not fulfill his promises to you, that means Jesus died for nothing. He died for nothing. Sometimes when I pray, I claim his promise. God, I need you to move in my life, and you promised that you would, and I'm believing that you are. And every once in a while, I drop a nuke, and I say this, if you're not going to do it for any other reason, do it because Jesus died for me. And if you don't do it, then you're telling your son Jesus, your sacrifice wasn't enough. I'm breaking my promise, and I'm going to say no. If you don't bless me for any other reason, aside from the fact that you love me, aside from the fact that you put that promise in black and white, aside from all that, you don't want to look at your one and only begotten son and say, your death on the cross is not good enough. I'm still going to break my promise. That can't happen. That cannot happen. His promise for you will always be yes and amen. It will always be. Can you put your hands together for that?
Thank you for allowing us to come into your homes today. It's our goal to encourage you and challenge you to believe God for greater things in your life. Right now, we're looking for partners who want to lock arms with us. For your monthly commitment of any amount, we want to send you our exclusive partnership bundle of 3 equipping teachings. We're sure it will help you grow strong in the Lord. We will see you at this time next week.